Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Is there a duality operating that you can identify? Rearrange the voices on each side of the duality. Which aspect of ego do you see on each side? Performance. Example, one side, I just need to try harder. I can make this work, hopeful. Second side, I think it's time for me to move on. I'm out of here, set up. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. It's Kim calling from Vashon.
Good morning, Kim. What are you saying?
I see so many dualities. So the first one is you're an imposter. You are not qualified for your job. And the other side of that duality is you're not getting paid enough for what you do. you need a more prestigious job. You're overqualified for the job. So there's one.
Wow.
And, it's really interesting. And
it's not even subtle, is it?
No, it's so not subtle. I kind of went into this whole thing about the meaning of work being that if you're working, you're getting paid. And if you're, you know, with that word, if you're not getting paid, then the standards fall. This is all conditioning, of course. So if I'm working, I'm getting paid, and I can never live up to the standards. How did I even get this job? I'm an imposter. I'm not qualified. I'm not adequate. And then if I'm not getting paid, then it's okay. You don't have to live up to any standard, you know, because you're not getting paid. It's not really work.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, it's not really work, and nobody can expect anything from you, right?
Right.
They can't. Yeah, they can't have expectations because you're not getting. Hey, I'm getting paid. So whatever I do is whatever I do.
Right.
Which is fiendish,
and
right?
It's so fiendish. It so takes away, like, the spirit of just life. You know, to want to participate. It takes it all away.
Yes. Well, and there's so much self-hate in it, right? Especially in that, there's a lot of self-hate in all of it, of course, but especially in that you're not worth it. Who you are is, conditioned on how you perform, and how you perform means how you get paid. So if if I'm riddled with self-hate, then I'm not going to get paid for anything so that I don't have to be beaten up by the voices telling me that I'm not earning my pay.
Yeah. The voices really get into another little topic where they start saying, well, you're not a surgeon, you know, you're just a lowly music teacher, you don't need to really know your stuff because it's not going to be a life or death situation.
Right. Nobody's going to die if they play the wrong note.
Yeah.
Because you somehow failed them.
Right. And because you're not qualified, well, it doesn't really, it gets me going both ways. You're not qualified, but it doesn't really matter because your job is unimportant. And then, therefore, you need to
And you're not getting paid that much anyway.
Right. So it doesn't. None of it really matters as much as if you were having a more prestigious job. Oh, you need to go out and get a more prestigious job because you're not really living up to all of your education, et cetera. I mean, there's just this piled higher and deeper, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're seeing it.
I'm seeing it.
All right. Now, that's the important thing, isn't it? So that now that you're so clear about what those voices are saying and doing, when they start in, you know you're able to go back to presence because you know what that is. It's just ego doing its dualistic heads you lose, tails you lose thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Go show. Go happy.
Thanks, Kim. Just hearing that described brings up compassion, right, Charity? Because it's one of those places that if you're consumed by that conversation, there are no exits. I mean, it's perfectly constructed for us to chase our tails inside of it, right?
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good image. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. Inside it. Never to get outside of conditioned mind, dualistic misery machine.
Yeah, something called circular logic, right? Or specious reasoning, the way in which it's constructed.
Yes.
The premise itself is false, and once you fall for the premise, you just keep going along with the argument, and it happens so fast and so internally that you don't just go, wait a minute, none of this makes sense.
Right. Which is why, of course, ego is so invested in people just going from thing to thing, doing, urgency, stress, because if we slow down and if we stop, we're going to see all this stuff, which we know because we've done that and that's what's happening.
Right, and that exercise of writing it down was really helpful because I can see how it's constructed to completely, as Kim says, rob the life force off of any force. It completely crushes it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's the ping pong match. Right?
Yeah.
That's what that's about. Boom, you're smacked by one side of the duality. Boom, you're smacked by the other side of the duality. And if you've ever played that game, it's a horrible game, actually, that kids do where they spin one another around until they're so dizzy they fall over. It's like that. That's what ego has us in. We're just constantly off balance.
Yeah, that's a good word, off balance.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Renee in Oregon. Hi.
Renee in Oregon. What you seeing?
Well, this is a great exercise. I'm seeing how on each side of the duality, it says that I need to, so it's interesting. I've seen this real subtle voice about it, like you need to do this, and then but you can't do that. Like if it's related to really outside of work, like work in the community or things like that. And And what
you
I
should
see is,
you can't.
Yeah, right.
That duality.
Right, and then underneath that is this, it's really, this is where the humility part comes in to say this, and I know it's ego, so I'm going to say it and know that it's not me, but it really feels like me, and that is the part where if you're not seen, it doesn't matter. So it's like
if nobody knows this is going on, it doesn't matter. It doesn't count.
Right. And it's right. It's like, so as soon as I have an impulse to, let's say, help the local organization who's helping homeless teens, then the next voice that comes in is, you know, well, it really doesn't matter because no one's going to know and it's not that big. And you know, so it's all about what is recognized.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So then Yes.
Right. What other people see counts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about
this is
the
a little aside, Renee.
Yeah.
But I hope you do the email class. I think
I already
you would.
Up.
Oh, good. Yep. Because you can see the Enneatype in that, right?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I totally can see it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's one of those. Yeah, it's one of those ones that ego really tells me it's that I'm a bad person for you know, wanting to be seen and recognized. Yeah.
Yeah, for you're a bad person for having fallen for what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate has done to you.
Yes. Well, I don't think I see it quite that way. It still feels like it's me, but yeah.
Well, sure it does. And Renee, you know, in a certain way, it is. It is me. As you started out, it is ego, right? And we've been deeply conditioned to believe that ego is who we are. So you're raised, we've got all the karma and we've got all the socialization that says what's important is being somebody, basically. And being somebody means you've got to, other people look at you and say, wow, she's somebody, right? And then when we buy into that, because survival depends on it, right? You've got to go along with that message and do what the people who are important for your survival are telling you you need to do, you know. And then we get to the point where we realize how much suffering there is in this, and we start trying to extricate ourselves from ego. And that's what this is all about. And so, of course, ego kicks up a fuss because it wants us to believe all that conditioning, all that crapola is who we authentically are. Because if that's true, then we'll stay with it. But if we recognize it's not, then we realize we're seeing that from another vantage point.
Right. Yeah.
That you are not that, or you couldn't see it.
Right. That's true. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, to out it was, at first, when I first saw it, it was like, oh gosh, that's embarrassing, you know? And then,
how do I hide that one?
But what prompted me to out it, so to speak, is, it stops me from helping people.
Yeah. It's controlling you. Yeah.
Yep.
Just like it controls all of us, right? To the degree that we buy into it, it controls us. And so you saw it because your heart says, I want to help people. And ego says, what's that going to get me? You helping people, what's that going to get me? Unless you end world hunger, no.
Right.
Don't waste your time on that. You got to be doing things that feed me.
Yep. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't care if I help people.
Oh God, no.
No.
It cares if you help it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It is. Remember, it is egocentricity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Renee.
Thanks so much.
That's so good.
Okay.
You're very brave.
Bye-bye.
You're very brave. Add that to the list.
Thanks. I feel like it right now. My stomach has butterflies, so that's a good sign.
That's a good sign. You're going in the right direction. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Go happy.
Bye. You too.
Thanks, Renee. That is just so interesting to note, right, Sherry, that what the ego, that in this case, I, in order for me to do anything, it has to count in that it needs to be validated. And in some weird way, which is so so how the ego operates, that it's such a negative image of everything, that the fact that any act is an action that counts intrinsically, or just being is what we are, right? That notion is what is being negated all the time by having to be something
that is validated in order to be something. As soon as we construct that sentence, we recognize how far into identification we are, into separation we are.
Yeah, yeah. And so with what you're saying, what's being negated constantly is being, which is authenticity, right? Our authentic nature. That's being negated. So who you authentically are, what your heart wants, that doesn't count because your importance, well-being, whatever it is conditional. So you have to perform. You have to be who I say you need to be, which means doing. So it doesn't matter who you are. It matters what you do when we're looking from that ego conditioning.
And in Renee's case, not only what you do, but whether or not other people see that you're doing it and recognize you for it.
That's right. Yep. That's a extra icing on the cake for ego, right?
Yeah.
So not only can it work a person to death trying to meet those standards, but it can negate a great deal of what the person does because, well, that doesn't count. Nobody knows you're doing that. That doesn't count. Nope. No points for that.
Yeah. And if I'm helping someone, if I'm paying attention, I have an experience of what I am, right, which is helpful or caring. And that's the experience we're being prevented from having, so that we'll fall for, oh, nothing you do counts because it's not seen.
That's right. Yeah. And it takes me, of course, to one of the very famous Bible quotes, which is, don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, or the right hand know what the left hand is doing. Because, you know, I wasn't raised Christian, so I'm a latecomer to this. But it's, to me, that's exactly what it's saying. Let everything that we do be done in secret, so that the ego doesn't get any recognition for it. And the only thing that we're working with is inherent goodness and authentic being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Hello, Jennifer. What are you seeing?
Hello. Well, you know, I was looking for two things, but it seems like there's three circuses that I'm being run around in.
A three-ring circus?
Yes,
the
three-ring circus.
The old-fashioned kind.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So when it comes to work, and I'm sure everything else, either it's just way too much, it's impossible, I'm like helpless and hopeless, just curled up in a ball, or I'm urgent and rushing forward to get a grip and get a jump on everything, and if I just pre-plan and hurry and go, it'll work out. Or the third one is, which is the third one's a newer one that I really noticed lately, is when I'm working, if things that tools that I'm using or people I'm working with don't act like they're supposed to, or like technology doesn't work, I am totally justified in being completely in a rage, just infuriated about how things aren't working like they're supposed to.
Ooh.
So three versions of suffering.
Oh, my gosh. Jennifer, I think that one needs to move to the center ring, don't you?
Yes.
That
was a big thing up on the fundraiser, you know. Every time I get to do the fundraising site, you know, if things aren't working like I think they should, and the little
I don't need
personality,
to deal with that.
They have their arms crossed and the nose up in the air, and it's like, huh. Yeah.
Put up with this kind of nonsense. I have more important things to do. Yeah, that's a good one.
But it's such a rage. It's such a rage, like, and it's kind of like some kind of a righteously stoked rage that things should be like somebody thinks they should be.
Well, because, yeah, and we know who that somebody is, don't we? And
yeah.
And so, you know, the part that I just saw when you said that is, because, you know, I always do everything perfectly.
That's right.
I mean, that, you know, when we say it out loud, it's just laughable. But that's the assumption or the unexamined belief it's feeding, right? Because, you know, I screw up just as much, if not more, than everybody else. And yet, if somebody else does, well, off with
yeah.
their head.
Or especially if an inanimate object is not behaving, like a computer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're just supposed to work and leave me alone. They just should function.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah. And again, it gets into that, because I deserve it. Right, because I'm important. I am busy, and I am working hard. And
yeah.
this stuff needs to serve me.
Ooh,
wow.
Ooh,
boy.
What a good place to look.
This is a big, deep one, isn't it?
yes. Definitely.
It's fascinating. I've actually, you know, I've never seen all those so closely tied together. I mean,
yeah.
certainly I know all of them, but I've never seen them as such a little grouping.
Yeah.
Such a team. And yeah,
yeah,
a bundle, an ego-supported bundle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, thank
well,
you for
great.
The for the little look at back at, you know, there's the rage, which stops me right there. You know, I'm enraged.
Yeah.
So therefore, nothing
yeah.
can go forward, and I'm justified,
yeah.
so justified. But why is that? Why am I so
yeah.
justified?
Why am I fallen for that? And, of course, what we know from work that we've done is that I can't go anywhere because ego is busy gobbling up the energy of that rage.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So I just have to pause right here for ego to slurp all of that energy up. And then I'll be left to whatever is next, which is probably feel bad about being such a self-righteous jerk,
exactly.
right? Who do you think you are?
Yeah, in Africa, their technology doesn't work.
right, you spoiled little privileged. Yeah. Oh, my God,
exactly.
It never quits, does it?
It's more than a three-ring circus.
Yeah. Although these rings are pretty fun to look at right
yeah.
now. Yeah,
very good.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. That was wonderful.
Thanks, Jennifer. Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is exciting. This is Kelly from San Jose.
Hello, Kelly.
Sorry, I'm driving.
What
but
are
I'm
you seeing
over here? So
there
I'm
you go, because you know we don't want to hear the crash, right, and the screams and all of that. So yeah, so that's good. We'll get you parked. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I have a headset on, so it's not like I'm holding my phone or anything. But I'm seeing indecision and kind of a trio of indecision, planning, and multitasking. And I think, you know, it was interesting. I actually haven't called in so long. And I realized, and I felt this a lot as I was listening to the live show, I felt like the reason that I wouldn't, I mean, I've been listening, but I haven't raised my hand, right? And I realized that it was because I was feeling this indecision. So then when we started focusing on work, and I realized how central indecision is as a form of resistance, I was like, okay, I can't just be waiting in the wings anymore. Like, it's fine.
I can't sit this one out. I got to get up and dance.
It's too obvious, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, I think that what it's connected to is, I'm probably a lot of what everyone else has been looking at, which is this sense that, like, I'm supposed to somehow get it right in order to be worthy, right? Because there's the indecision that's very linked to, like if I could just get it all perfectly planned,
and like script it, then I would be able to move into action, you know. So I'll have like tons of ideas, and the ideas would like to just kind of like pour out and turn into projects and action in my business. But then there's all of this like conversation about the relative merit of the ideas and how that, you know, how I might be like how it would be received or how I would be perceived. And, you know, it's just a total, it's a total bamboozle.
Uh-huh. You know, one of the things, not to, this, I started saying not to get into problem solving, but, you know, that's not it. I just want to tell you about something that has been so helpful for me over time, because I, too, suffer from overdeveloped creativity. And so I've often talked about it as it's like a faucet, you know, and I can't turn it off. It's just, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this. And as far as I can tell, they're all great. They seem great to me anyway. I'd love to do them all, but I'm just one little person. And so I can't. And so what I've learned to do is just wait and see what cycles around. So I may be excited about something for a little while, and then, you know, that's it. You know, and it's when you don't go down that planning road with them, they actually have a shorter shelf life. You know, it doesn't take days or weeks to be caught up in it. It can be hours. Then, especially if we have a practice of bringing attention back to present, then, okay, that's great, and I'm here. Now, if something keeps coming up, like Ashwini could help me out with this, but that communication book was, I was talking about that, I think, for years before it ever actually came into, okay, this is what we're doing. Okay, so clearly that had a different, I don't know what the word is, but that was different for me than all these other ideas, because that's the one that actually had the momentum of life behind it.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if that speaks to your situation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was just going to say, as opposed to the momentum of a lot of, like, flitting conversation.
Yes, yes. And that's big, isn't it? Because we can, you know, we can see that that is a great idea. And then we watch ego milk it, right?
Mm-hmm.
With, well, and this and this and what about this and what about this? And, yeah, but what are people going to think about that? And, you know, as soon as we start down that road, we can know, okay, enough, this is not it, and come back. And that doesn't mean in 2 weeks or 2 months or whatever, that same idea might come through again, and you might watch the same process. But eventually, over time, at least this is how I experience it, over time, the force of life will be what you're attending to rather than those ego conversations.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And as you were saying that, I kind of realized, I think that sometimes the energy, the kind of, there's like a grasping energy.
And
I hadn't really ever thought of grasping as being like one of the central poisons for me, but I think that it's really operative in this. And there's like a grasping, like this exciting new shiny object, you know, like this exciting new idea that then I can flesh out in all these different ways and turn it into something and, you know, materialize it in the world. And it can be a fun new offering and people are going to love it, you know, all that. And doing that about a bunch of different things at the same time, I feel like.
And you're depleted.
You're depleted
by the process. You're not energized.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which is another way we can tell the difference, right? Because it's ego grasping, right? And when we're really in the flow of life, it's energizing. And it's not that spurt of ego energy, oh, shiny new object, right? It's not that. It's a sustained, because it's going to take you through fruition, right? And
right.
it's not going to take anything away from you. It's just going to give to you every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So the process mm-hmm. feels very, very different.
Totally, like channeling instead of
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, good to hear from you.
Thanks.
Don't
Sherry.
Be a stranger.
Thanks, Sweeney. Thank you, Sangha. Well, I'm always here, almost always here.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> But it's nice when we get to hear.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Take
so
good
much.
Care, Kelly.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Kelly. Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show, our assignment for today. Can you see how the voices are framing your choices to ensure that you never win? Example, I need to maintain a situation that doesn't support me, or I need to leave. In the first choice, I feel bad because I'm trapped and there is no way out. In the other choice, I feel all the fear and uncertainty associated with making a change. What are the two choices the voices offer you?
Mm-hmm. We're at the two bad choices part of the program, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where we are?
That's where we
yeah.
are.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy.